Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different Podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. Man, I hope you guys had a blessed weekend and just had a lot of fun. You know, I was actually able to go out to the lake with my dad and my uncle, who celebrated his 71st birthday just yesterday. And man, we had so much fun just being out on the water, fishing, and just hanging out and growing in fellowship with one another. I mean, those two guys are truly two of my not only greatest friends, but I look up to them as coaches and mentors and so many amazing things. And I challenge you just up front today, my prayer is that you guys would have somebody that is investing in your life specifically. And if you're older, that you would be willing to invest in a younger person's life, because I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. So up front, I just want to challenge you guys to get a mentor, to get a friend, to get somebody that really wants to better you as a person. Guys, our episode today is going to all be wrapped around this whole idea of sexual sin and pornography and lust and so many things that so many people really struggle with and can actually fall into a deep and dark addiction too. So today's episode, that's the whole heart of it. And our guest today that we'll be interviewing is Mr. Stephen Arterburn, who has written a book that's actually titled Every Man's Battle. Something I want to talk about here for a second is, you know, addiction is on the rise. We're in a mental health disaster, as we like to say here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. And mental health is something that seriously needs to be given so much attention and so much respect to, and really trying to help people become and grow their mental health hygiene. And addiction, especially sexual addiction, is something that goes so under the radar, and it's so under-discussed, as I would say, especially within the church. And it's something that so many Christians, especially Christian men, struggle with on a daily basis, and they show up in the pews, but it's something that is neglected from the pulpit. And I really want to dive into that here today and just talk about it for a second. You know, if the stats hold true, listen to this stat, over 10 million regularly view pornography online. And catch this one, the number one population group to view online pornography, 12 to 17-year-old boys. Now, there's a problem there. And if you don't see the problem, then you may be part of the problem, because the truth is, that's not how it's supposed to be. And pornography and sexual lust and all of these different things, these are all delusions and distractions that Satan loves nothing more than to get you involved in and then to make you feel like you're alone in the midst of it. So hear me when I say this. If you're struggling when it comes to porn, if you're struggling when it comes to lust, if you're struggling when it comes to a sex addiction or anything like that, you are not alone. There are so many other people that are struggling with it too. It's actually something that I struggled with when I was in high school, right? I struggled with porn and I struggled with different things like that. I had great parents, parents that loved me, parents that raised me up in the faith, but it was something that I battled with. And so I want you to know that one, you're not alone. And two, though, you cannot continue to live in sin. You cannot continue to live in darkness. And what you have to do, the first thing that you really have to do in overcoming an addiction is exposing that darkness, that sin that you're really struggling with, expose it to the light, expose it, get help. Don't be afraid to ask somebody, because at the end of the day, if you're fighting alone, trust me, Satan and hell rejoices when you are alone. You can't fight this war by yourself. So let me remind you and encourage you, seek help today. Be authentic. Label it as a problem area in your life. And then with someone's help and someone's patience and all of these different things that are going along in your life, my prayer to you is that you would be able to start then implementing the steps necessary to then overcome the addiction, to overcome the sin. And instead of gratifying your sin, my prayer is that you would be able to put a stop to it and start managing it and limiting it and eventually completely cutting it out of your life. So know these words: you, my friend, are not alone, and you, my friend, are never out of the fight. If you're struggling right now and you're going through tough stuff, do not give up. Expose it to the light and let's keep moving forward together. Mr. Stephen Arterburn, as I said, he's a very well-known author and speaker. He really has a heart for this topic specifically, as he wrote the book Every Man's Battle, just came out with the revised version, which is 20 years later from the original copy, and that was just released last year. And my prayer is that you would truly utilize this very valuable resource in his book, Every Man's Battle, and continually try to overcome the battle that you may face in your own life. That interview with Mr. Stephen Arterburn will be coming up right after this short break.
We'll be right back with more after this. You got
chains, he's a chain breaker. Hey guys, Dr. Tim for Ignite Men's Impact Weekend, coming August 13th and 14th at Thomas Road Baptist Church. This Ignite is fire. Experience Zach Williams live in concert. Former Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker Ryan Shazier is with us. Best-selling author that fought the battle in Benghazi, Mark Ozgeist for our God and Country Night. Liberty University head football coach Hugh Freeze is with us. World Series champion Daryl Strawberry, Rick Grigsby, so much more. It wouldn't be Ignite without the Extreme Outdoor Expo and Kids Zone, with dozens of workshops, stuff that men love, hunting, fishing, football, and more, featuring some of the leading experts in the world. Best news, Virginia is wide open, all restrictions are gone, and we can't wait to get to Ignite. Don't miss this one.
Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Mr. Steve, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you. I've been with your dad many, 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 many times.
And that's
nice to see you following in the mic steps, or whatever you would call it. I don't know.
I'm trying to keep up, as my dad would say.
Yeah,
he always tells me to pack a lunchbox, right? I got to go to work.
Right.
Sir, it's a blessing to be able to sit with you. I've heard so much about you, like you said, not only from my dad, but I mean, I've read your books. I've gone through a lot of your stuff, and what you give and what you offer is so amazing, and it's so helpful and insightful in the lives of so many.
Well,
and God
you.
Has used you in so many ways. And I think, in particular, you really have come to this realization of this thought throughout your entire Christianity outlook, throughout your entire work in ministry, was remaining pure is one of the most difficult challenges Christian men face.
Amen.
Especially in an overtly sexualized culture.
So tough.
You've devoted and poured your time into helping men understand that very battle.
Yeah.
And you wrote a book about 21 years ago. Mm. You just revised it. It's called Every Man's Battle. Sir, help us understand why it's such a struggle for men.
Well, imagine if you were struggling with vodka.
Yeah.
And somebody walked into your office every 30 seconds and asked, would you like a bottle of this?
Right.
I mean, that would really be tough. And that's kind of what we're dealing with with pornography and inappropriate images.
Mm-hmm. There,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And
so accessible.
And it snuck up on us.
Mm.
And then once it was here, you've got a huge, huge majority of young people that don't think it's a problem. And use it regularly. And I just think it's an instant mood changer.
Yep.
I think in an area of sexuality where there's a lot of insecurity and vulnerability, you are in total control.
That's right.
And I just believe that sex is, well, it's such a great gift from God that some people think he didn't even invent it. But but it's such a wonderful thing that brings people together, that Satan, of course, he's going to use that,
of course,
as the number one thing that would destroy people, lust and other things related to sexuality. And for men, you know, when you're an adolescent, you have a job to do.
Yeah.
I have a 14-year-old. I'm telling about this job all the time. But you know, if you met somebody that went to church and they looked really, really religious, but you knew on Monday through Saturday that they were just mean and ugly to people, well, then you'd say they hadn't done a very good job of integrating their faith into a healthy person. Well, I talked to him about, you know, as an adolescent, you're supposed to integrate faith, but also the sexual part of you. But us men tend to put it in a little box over here, and we open it up quite frequently, but it's still not integrated into who we are. And that guy over there that's doing sexual things, very different than this person that I present to other people. And that the healthy man learns eventually to integrate that into a healthy whole. And sadly, sometimes for that to happen now, you have to get caught or you have to be found out or whatever it is. And then maybe you get the help. But we've been blessed at New Life because we not only help people get the book, but we do a workshop every month called Every Man's Battle. And it's been so exciting to see people, well, men, that were kind of living like dirty little boys looking at dirty pictures. And the wife becomes the suspicious mom, the angry mom. And, you know, when you're dependent on something and your source of relief is pornography, you know, you bond with that experience.
Right. That's right.
And you, well, it's just like a mother. When she bonds with her baby, she's also willing to die to kill the lion that would, well, the mother, I mean, your wife becomes kind of the angry mother trying to find you out. And guys on pornography, they really, how in the world did I become so angry at my wife all the time? Why can't I stand being around her? It's because you're more bonded to pornography than you are to your wife.
That's right.
But the radical change that people can make is really incredible. And we see these guys going from shame and guilt and separation, duplicity. A year later, they're running a group of men's, a little self-help group, and helping other guys clean up their act and find purity. And that's a pretty amazing thing. You know, if you get cancer and you heal from it, you can't open a clinic to help. Right. You know, you have to go to medical school.
Right.
But in this case, this problem, you can turn around and help other people. Pretty wonderful.
It is very wonderful, sir. And what you're doing and the work that you've done in this specific area has been so beneficial. And I know it's really impacted so many lives. Because like you're saying, it's a battle. And So many men, they go through that battle and experience it on a daily basis. And like you're saying, they can compartmentalize their lives and almost have two separate lives hiding because it's a secret sin, right?
Yeah.
It's something that the church really doesn't like to talk about all that much.
They don't.
And it's hidden within the pews every given Sunday. You have a little testimony when it comes to these very things. And I've heard you share it on with my dad several times. You know, you were exposed to pornography at the age of 4.
Yeah.
And how that really skewed your vision of women, kind of viewing them as objects. Sir, can you take us back to those moments and how it affected you?
Well, you know, my my parents were really strict Southern Baptists. And in fact, when they started serving or selling Coke in cans, we couldn't drink them out of a can because they were afraid that, you know, we would be thought of as the Arterburn boys drinking beer out of can. Well, we were drinking beer anyway eventually, but but it didn't matter. But anyway, they're very strict, and somehow I just don't think they fully understood the impact of me going into my grandfather's office, and all around the walls was pornography. And I was born the same year that Playboy was born, and the first centerfold was Marilyn Monroe, and she was hanging right over there. I can still remember where that centerfold was hanging. And it taught me that women were there for men's gratification, that they're less than, they're objects, objectification, and it really had a very, very solid, strong impact. I mean, I became a pornified kid. Wow. A lot of men become pornified men, but it was very early for me. And, you know, that was a really, really tough thing to get out of, and because it was just part of me since I was 4 years old.
Right.
And so I don't know how people get exposed, but if you're online, you're going to get exposed. And we need to equip our young people how they're going to handle this, because the more exposure, then the more it destroys this amazing thing called sex and marriage, which, you know, I really want people to have a great sex life. My wife and I wrote a wonderful little book about sexuality and couples and having fun. And it's just too bad that a lot of people will never experience that because of the duplicity in their relationship.
Right. And like you're saying, it's a very complicated matter that it doesn't only affect your personal life, but then it dives into and it infects the relationships that God has placed in your life.
Well, we've worked with women.
Yeah.
Who, and we have a Restore conference for them. But some of them say that him being dependent on pornography is actually worse than if he had an affair.
Wow.
Because the pornography is so perfect and and the comparison and all. If he had had an affair, it would just been a normal human
just
being.
A one and done, yeah, or something like that.
And so they really, any guy thinking, well, it's not that bad, doesn't really understand what an insult it is to a woman.
To a woman. Man, that's powerful. And that changes the whole perspective on things when you say it like that, when you view it. Because you're right. And pornography is so accessible, like you said earlier, that, I mean, you can look it up anytime and it can just completely tear apart relationships. I mean, we've both seen marriages and relationships fall through the cracks and crumble because of this very issue.
Yeah.
But, sir, to the man out there today that thinks, you know, there's... it's over for him.
Yeah.
He has no chance of actually getting out of this. This is defining him, right? This pornography, this sexual addiction, and he really feels like he's out of the fight. What we love to do at the Built Different Podcast, our subtitle is, you're never out of the fight. Sir, what are some ways that you have just taught people through every man's battle that they can find hope and healing from this journey?
Well, I believe that every person is created by God with a purpose and a calling.
Yeah.
And you'd look at a lot of people's lives and you would say, no way. But God doesn't remove that calling. God is a God of mercy.
That's right.
And there are so many people that, and maybe you're even in this place, you're so in so much pain and desperation that you would say, this is all I have.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Well, there are guys that's where they were,
right,
and they're not there anymore. Pornography is not about the women that maybe are literally in the sex industry because they can't do anything else, and they just feel trapped. I was on the board of a ministry called Stripped Free, and we helped women out of the sex industry. About 87% want to be. But see, it's not about them.
Right.
If it was about them, I wouldn't ever use them.
Right.
It's about me, my obsession, my feelings, my everything. Well, how do we get happy? All of the studies show the happiest people or the most fulfilled people are helping other people. So are you disqualified to serve? Actually, your problem qualifies you. Let's say you're 80 years old. You are qualified. Get this thing taken care of and in these last years, fulfilled and happy because you are seeing so many people turn around because your life, they say, well, wow, if he could turn around at 80 or 70 or 60, maybe I could too. God has a great, great plan for you, and you will experience the Christian life that I think you've heard about, but you wondered where it was.
Right. And you can still experience that. Doesn't matter your age, like you're saying, you can still turn it around because God has redemption story in mind just for you.
Yeah.
Sir, when you made this full commitment to Christ, you're following in his direction, in his leading, you're striving to be a man who's pure at heart. He propels you to heights and levels I'm sure, honestly, you probably didn't even see coming. I mean, you're a founder and chairman of New Life Ministries and host of the number one nationally syndicated Christian counseling talk show, New Life Live, heard by more than 3 million people each weekday. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
That's insane.
It's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
But we love getting to do it. And, you know, I work with some of the best psychologists and therapists ever. Yeah. And I have, you know, it's like me going to class for an hour for the past, well, let's see, it's been about 30 years.
Right. So just continuing to expound upon your already plethora of knowledge and just continuing to refill that gap and fill your cup. And sir, just speak into for a second all that God has been able to do in and through you and just his faithfulness. How good has he been and how have you seen him show up in powerful ways?
Well, I had a guy tell me the other day that he supports New Life.
Yeah.
Because if God could use me, he could use anyone. And wow. He certainly wanted to support that. But I've been so fortunate. And for instance, a lot of people are out there, they've got ideas, and they're looking for someone to give them some money for their idea, and then they'll be, you know, successful or whatever, like on Shark Tank or something like that. But I was I wasn't looking for anything, and some men came to me and said, "We're going to give you a couple of million dollars to start an organization." And I said, "Well, what kind?" And they said, "You get to decide." And that $2 million became $92 million. And and I just felt like it was not me. It was God, for some reason, wanted to use me to do that and still getting to do that. Like Women of Faith, I had, in 95, had toured these men around the country. And we were in nine cities.
Yeah.
And if you added up all the people that came in nine cities, you wouldn't get to 1,000.
Wow.
So I proved that I was the biggest failure at touring speakers around the country. But in the midst of it, I had this vision for Women of Faith, and I was willing to embarrass myself again.
Mm.
Well, the next year, 96, was the first year Women of Faith. We had 36,000 women. The next year, 150,000. And then the next year, over 300,000, and we had that for 20 years. Why me? I do not. I don't know. I just don't know. But I do know this. I was the right guy because my goal and vision for Women of Faith was one thing, and that was to encourage women.
Mm.
You know, Promise Keepers was over there. We're helping guys keep their promises. The women, they were keeping their promises.
Yeah.
I just wanted to encourage them. And they just kept coming back and bringing their non-Christian friends. We had over 500,000 women come to Christ over that 20-year period. I don't know why God let me do that, but he did.
It's amazing what God can do in and through somebody, even the ones that people may not be expecting, even when we don't expect it. He has such an amazing plan and purpose.
Well, when Dave Stoop and I put together the Life Recovery Bible, Tyndale, the publisher, thought that it would be a nice thing to do for some alcoholic people, you know, the way they would look at it. And so they thought they'd sell about 100,000 and that would be worth it. We've sold over 3 million Bibles.
Wow.
Prison Fellowship gave away about 100,000 last year. It's the Pew Bible in Salvation Army. I don't know how that happened, but I'm so grateful because I get people all the time saying, those notes, they just feel like somebody knows where I am. Well, all of the notes are written by theologians from Christian colleges and seminaries who are recovering. And so they do know where they are.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's just been so fascinating.
It
but
really
I'm
is.
I'm not finished. I have a lot of things I want to do, and
good.
As long as I can still get around.
That's right. I want to touch on something that you just mentioned to me before this interview. You just released a new book out that just came out last week. It's titled The Soul of a Hero.
Yeah.
Sir, what's at the heart of that book? What's the message you want people to really get from it?
Well, a lot of times we think of a male hero as somebody that has found a desperate person and rescued them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's a nice thing. But a hero is so much more than that, a godly hero. It's a person who, you know, you hear this servant leadership term.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, a hero isn't a servant leader. I think he, and it's about men, not women, even though there are many women heroes.
Yeah.
But I think it's a die-to-yourself servanthood versus servant leadership.
Yeah.
And we really try to help a guy latch on to a vision of themselves where they would be proud that this is the life they've lived, and others would want to follow them. Because, You know, God isn't a respecter of persons. He really loves us all. It's kind of weird to think about.
Yeah.
But he is love.
Yes.
And he has something really special for everybody. So we're just trying to help them step up to it. We live in a really crummy time, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a war on masculinity.
Yes.
And men and commercials and,
yes,
and movies. They're always made to look dumb or confused or whatever. And so in the midst of all that, I think Dave and I, we've got something. It took us 5 years to write it.
Yeah.
We've got something that could help a guy see himself in a different light.
That's amazing. And I challenge all of our listeners to go and pick up that valuable resource. Where can they find it?
You could call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, either one.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I know that when I think of a hero like you're talking about, I view a hero like Christ as somebody who dives into that servanthood because they jump into the mess.
Yeah, that's
you know what
right.
I mean? They show up in the mess.
Very
they don't
good.
Call you out of it. They're in the middle of it with you.
Very good. I agree with you totally. And you know, Paul followed Christ, and he did that very thing. He was not afraid to get in the fray, and that's what we need more people. Sadly, as I heard in a seminar today, the world wants men to be nice. Don't confront. Don't cause a problem. Acquiesce. Just conform and be nice. You can't do a lot of stuff if your goal is being nice versus my goal is to carry out the mission that God has for me.
That's right, and that's what I think of when I think about who Jesus was even. Sometimes we have that Mother Teresa concept, right, that Jesus was this kind and humble servant, which he was, but he also was a warrior that pursued, right? He's a pursuer God, he's a jealous God, and he's a fighter.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people in the secular world, they want to view Jesus as the love Jesus and the guy that was full of grace, but he was all grace, all truth.
That's right. All grace, all truth.
And it was all integrated perfectly together. Mm-hmm. And sadly, the world doesn't really care much about truth.
Right.
But revivals happen. Sometimes
That's
things
right.
get so bad that they get good again. That's what I'm praying for.
That's right. That's what we're all praying for. Sir, this has been a blast. You're just a blessing, like I said, to myself and to so many lives. But just to close this out, what's your word and your message of maybe hope, encouragement, and motivation to the man listening to this today who feels like he's failed and he's starting to identify with his failures and he needs something to spark him or to ignite him? What would you tell that man?
Well, there's a quote, and it's probably the best quote I've found for my own life.
Yeah.
And it was written by the guy that wrote the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson.
Yep.
And here's what it says. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. Now, I've tried to make that wrong in some situation, but you can't.
Yeah.
And so a man that's discouraged, if you could accept the fact that God loves you, he wants you out of that shame. If you could accept the reality that it's not going to be easy, but it's doable. And if you could accept that challenge to be the man that God's called you to be, your life would be totally different. But often we live rejecting reality, rejecting discomfort, and so we just stay stuck. I hope a guy won't do that.
Amen. Embrace the acceptance. Mr. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your heart, your testimony, and all that you're doing.
Well, you keep up the great work. You're a really good interviewer.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoyed it.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, what a powerful episode with Mr. Stephen Arterburn, just diving into not only his story and his personal testimony, but I think it's something that we can all relate to when it comes to sin, especially the sexual sin, right? The desires of our heart, when it comes to the lust, when it comes to the porn, when it comes to all these different things that we may struggle with. Remember, like he wrote, it is something that it's not just every man's, but I mean, it can be every woman's battle as well. Sin is something that we all love, and we were all created, though, to be in a relationship with the Lord. And let me remind you of a verse real quick, Psalm 51:10. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Let me remind you of something. It doesn't matter how far away you've strayed. It doesn't matter how far deep you may have fallen into addiction and into your sin. But let me remind you that God, we serve a redeeming God, and a God who delights in impossibility, a God who wants your heart. He wants all of you, and he is so willing to dive into your mess with you. You don't have to have everything perfect. You don't have to be completely out of the addiction, right? God loves to break the chains. That's who he is. He wants to dive into the mess and the bondage with you, and he will help you break those chains. So remember, God gives you friends for the fire. He gives you people for accountability. He gives you people that want to invest in your life, that want to help you overcome. But remember that he is also in the midst of your fire with you, in the midst of your addiction with you, in the midst of your brokenness with you, in the midst of your despair with you. It doesn't matter where you may be, he is in your midst. Remember, he can create in you a pure heart and renew the steadfast spirit within you. My prayer is that you would continue pressing into relationship with him and continue to grow in your faith walk and continue to be built different spiritually and relationally and mentally and then also physically in what we do and how we behave. Guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Built Different podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. As we close today, we want to remind you about the upcoming Waymaker World Conference. This world premier Christian counseling event will be held in Orlando, Florida, September 15th through September 18th. Over the last 14 years, the World Conference has sold out with nearly 7,000 counselors, coaches, pastors, chaplains, and more, representing all 50 states and over 40 countries. To find out more, go to worldconference.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton.
Hi there, this is Jessica from the Built Different podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Also, if you happen to catch the show on Apple Podcast, please leave us a review. Thanks again for tuning in to the Built Different podcast.